This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.MuslimCentral.com/donate.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا جاءك المنافقون قالوا نشهد إنك لرسول الله والله يعلم إنك لرسوله والله يشهد إن المنافقين لكاذبون رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي فالحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه اجمعين ثم ما بعد. Once again everyone, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Let's try and get to know Surah Al-Munafiqun. This is the 63rd Surah of the Quran. It's a very short Surah. Once again, it's only 11 ayat, and these 11 ayat are a comprehensive review, an overview of what hypocrisy is all about. It is a scary, scary thing. ما أمينه إلا منافق وما خافه إلا مؤمن. No one feels secure from hypocrisy except a hypocrite, and no one is afraid of hypocrisy except a sincere believer. May Allah make us all sincere and keep us vigilant about this sneaky disease that can enter into our system from anywhere. Now Allah describes the scathing criticism of the hypocrites in these ayat. And it begins with those who try to impress the Prophet ﷺ and impose upon him how sincerely and genuinely they believe. Look, this faith is something that's in the heart. You don't have to proclaim it and declare it and talk to people about how strongly you believe. That's actually in and of itself an indication of a guilty conscience. So إذا جاءك المنافقون قالوا نشهد إنك لرسول الله والله يعلم إنك لرسوله. It's so amazing. When the hypocrites come to you, they say, "We testify that you are certainly the messenger of Allah. We testify that you are the messenger of Allah." And Allah says, "And Allah knows that you're His messenger." Wallahu ya'lamu innaka rasuluhu. Walakin Allah, wallahu yashhad innal munafiqina lakadhibun. And by the way, Allah testifies that hypocrites are lying. They're liars. But wait a second. What did the hypocrites say? They said, "We testify that you are Allah's messenger." Isn't that the truth? That's a true statement. How can they be lying if they're saying something that's actually true? That's why the word nashhadu is important. It's not the fact that the Prophet is the messenger of Allah is what's not a lie. It's the fact that they're testifying. Their testimony is a lie. Allah says that testimony is fake. It is not a representation of what you have in your hearts. اتخذوا أيمانهم جنة. They've taken their oaths as a shield. And they block it. They fasaddu an sabil, and they use this oath as a shield. In other words, now Muslims can't say anything to them because they're fellow Muslims. And under that guise, they do whatever, they wreak whatever havoc they can. They create whatever chaos they can because they're not the enemies of Islam. They're Muslims themselves. Fasaddu an sabilillah. They obstruct from the path of Allah. You know this phrase. They obstruct themselves and obstruct others from the path of Allah. This is the phraseology used in the Quran for disbelievers. And now Allah uses it for hypocrites. He uses it for people that are Muslim and use their Islam as a means by which they can destroy Islam from within and hurt the community from within. You know, hurt fellow believers from within. فَصَدُّوا عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. What a horrible decision they've made. What a horrible kind of behavior. إِنَّهُمْ سَاءَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And then Allah describes, how did they get there? Really scary ayah. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا ثُمَّ كَفَرُوا فَطُبِعَ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ. That's because they originally had faith, but it deteriorated into disbelief. It's not like they were bad all along. They did have faith at some point, but it deteriorated. They didn't preserve this thing that they're supposed to preserve. What we're learning in the Quran is that there are people who are going to think they still have faith on the outside because everybody says, wa alaykum as-salam, when they say as-salamu alaykum. They look like Muslims. They act like Muslims. But to Allah, their hearts have already disbelieved. They've already walked away from this faith. They've let it deteriorate. And that's not something anybody can decipher from the outside. It is only on the inside. And they don't even realize, they don't even have an understanding of what they've done. And so, because they look like they're out on the outwardly, they look like they have numbers, the Prophet is being told. Now, this is the second passage. In the first passage, an overview. These people are not on the inside what they are on the outside. As far as Allah is concerned, He will raise them as disbelievers on judgment day. May Allah not make us from them. By the way, hypocrites are described with more intense punishment in the Quran than disbelievers. فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. In the lowest pit of the hellfire. In the lowest pit of hell. Not even the mushrik, the kafir, Abu Jahl. We're not told about them. They're going to be in the lowest pit. But the hypocrites, innal munafiqin fi dharki al-asfali min an-nar. Subhanallah. May Allah protect us from hypocrisy. The second passage is the instructions to the Prophet. When you see them, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when you see them come into Islam, تُعْجِبُكَ أَجْسَامُهُمْ, their physical presence impresses you. At least we have more numbers now. It's not like Mecca where we had onesie, twosie believers. Now in Medina, we have a lot more people. Allah says, you see, just see on the outside that there's a lot more people and you just get impressed. You shouldn't be. وَيَقُولُ تَسْمَعْ لِقَوْلِهِمْ, and when they try to come and get your attention and they speak to you, you actually listen to them because you are genuinely like giving benefit of the doubt. The Prophet ﷺ doesn't do that. And this is not, by the way, not a criticism. This is actually a compliment to the Prophet ﷺ. He doesn't hold suspicion against people. Even when hypocrites come, only Allah can know they have hypocrisy in their hearts. When they come and speak to you, you actually give them an ear. كَأَنَّهُمْ خُشُبٌ مُسَنَّدًا, as though they are, and Allah describes, they're like leaning planks of wood. Like it looks like it's a pretty solid plank, but it can't stand on its own. It has to lean on something. And that's the image of a hypocrite leaning on their credibility by coming and talking to the Prophet. I'll tell you something about that. What they're really good at is PR. So they don't come and talk to the Prophet ﷺ because they're interested in learning from the Prophet ﷺ. They come and talk to the Prophet ﷺ so that other people see that, man, that guy was talking to the Prophet. He must be really close with him. And that's how he becomes legitimate. And that's how they lean on the credibility of the Prophet by just coming and talking to him. You know? This is how Allah exposes these hypocrites in this surah, subhanAllah. May Allah again not make us from them. And then when finally the Prophet is being told, you need to understand they're one way with you and they're one a different way when they're not with you. When they're away from you and they're told, seek forgiveness, and you should, تعالوا يستغفر لكم رسول الله. Come, the messenger himself will pray for you, will ask for your forgiveness that you've messed up. They turn their heads. وَرَأَيْتَهُمْ يَصُدُّونَ وَهُمْ مُسْتَكْبِرُونَ. You're gonna see them, you know, just obstructing, like their pride is getting in the way from coming to the Prophet and acknowledging صلى الله عليه وسلم that they've messed up. And so the Prophet is told, عليه السلام, even if they did come, you asking their forgiveness or never asking wouldn't make a difference. That's the next ayah. أَسْتَغْفَرْتَ لَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تَسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ لَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ. Their pride is their death. Even the Prophet's prayers for them. You know how you go to like an elder, you go to your mom and say, mom, make dua for me. You know, you go to a scholar, any mom, say, Sheikh, please make dua for me. You go to a traveler, please make dua for me. You go to the sick and ask them, make dua for me. Somebody imagine asking the Prophet, make dua for me. Can you imagine the glory of the Prophet ﷺ making dua for you? And Allah says, for these people, even if you Prophet, if you prayed for them and they ask for the forgiveness or never asked, Allah won't forgive them. That is an offense they've done that even Allah will not forgive. And the offense they've done is shown arrogance to the Prophet ﷺ. That is actually one of the core aspects of their hypocrisy. Then this is the second passage, right? In the first passage, an overview of what hypocrites are. The second was how they are two-faced with the Prophet himself. The third part of it is how they are condescending and talk down to Muslims. They think less of other Muslims. This is one of their salient features. They put down, judge, and condescend other Muslims. So Allah says, you know, وَهُمُ الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ لَا تُنْفِقُوا عَلَى مَنْ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ حَتَّى يَنْفَضُّوا. Don't spend on those who are in the company of Allah's Messenger, these poor companions. Why should we treat them like equal? These people came from Makkah. These are Medinan hypocrites, some of them. These people came from Makkah. They're illegal immigrants. We have to sponsor them, put them in our homes, feed them. Why do we have to keep them? Let's stop spending on them so they disappear, man. They're just a pollution in our community. So when Muslims start looking at other Muslims based on immigration, race, economic status, you know, social status, when Muslims go into a fancy restaurant in Pakistan or Egypt or, you know, Algeria, and they go into a nice restaurant and they see a poor family sitting at the next table and they get a little, come on, what are these people doing here? Then you are suffering from the same hypocrisy that's being described in this surah. That's the crazy thing. Looking down on another Muslim, saying, man, I wish they weren't here. I wish they weren't polluting our neighborhood, polluting our city. حَتَّى يَنْفَضُّوا. And then they say, they think of themselves as dignified and the others as humiliated. لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْأَعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلُ. When we go back to Medina, we're going to separate the most dignified from the most humiliated. And Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah alone owns dignity and glory. He alone owns respect. And his messenger does, and the true believers do. But the hypocrites, وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. They have no knowledge of this. Now this was the third passage. Again, if you understand this beautiful overview, in the first passage, overall, their inside and outside is not the same. The second, they're two-faced before the Prophet. They try to impress him with their declarations of Islam, but behind their back, behind his back, they're actually scathing towards him. The third, they're condescending towards Muslims. And they have a low opinion of everyone other than themselves. They're very obsessed and diseased with a class society kind of mindset. And then the final passage. In this final passage, Allah basically tells the Muslim ummah, you know, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Don't let your monies and your children distract you from remembering Allah. Allah gives us the number one remedy to keep us from falling into hypocrisy. Our family lives, our monies, and we just worry about, you know, taking care of their worldly needs and forget about the fact that we have to stand before Allah and we have a higher calling and there's something more. And by the way, when Allah says أولادكم, it doesn't just mean taking your kids to the park, like don't take them and don't play with them. And don't misinterpret this. You know what this means for them? They thought their pride came from their lineage, their descendants. My son is going to take over my empire and this and that. When they saw their numbers, أعزُّ نَفَرًا, I am more in number, you know. When the pride in our children, like nowadays, a contemporary example of that is things like, oh, my son's a doctor, you know, my daughter's this or that or the other, or she's doing a PhD here. And what is your kid doing again? Oh, okay, they're community college? I see. You know, that kind of thing. This is taking away anything that reinforces the previous vices that were just mentioned, using money and children as a status symbol. Taking you away from the remembrance of Allah. Remembrance of Allah is not just astaghfirullah, subhanallah, mashallah, alhamdulillah. No. Hold on. The remembrance of Allah means you remember the greatness of Allah, and as a result, you remember the humility of yourself. The more you remember Allah as master, the more you remember yourself as slave. The more it humbles you. If the dhikr of Allah does not affect in any way, shape, or form the arrogance in your attitude and the way you carry yourself because of your money and your family status, then you're not remembering Allah. وَمَن يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Whoever would do that, they're the ultimate losers. وَأَنْفِقُوا. And then Allah says, and just spend. Spend. Give, be charitable. This world is not about hoarding. Don't collect stuff. Just keep giving things away that you don't need. Just give. Because a time will come, you'll wish you gave. It will come, because you're not going to be able to take it with you. وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Then he'll say, رَبِّ لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي. Master, why didn't you just give me some more time? فَأَصَدَّقَ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. I'll give charity and I'll be from those that are good people. Just give me a little bit more time. And Allah says, لَنْ يُؤَخِرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا. Allah is not going to delay anybody. That's now in this overview, notice in this last passage, Allah didn't say, don't be hypocrites. The whole thing is about hypocrisy, but the conclusion is don't let money and children distract you. Be charitable and be charitable soon, because time is coming when you'll run out. Why? Because infaq, spending, is actually the ultimate antidote to nifaq from the same origin, hypocrisy. Infaq will kill nifaq. Spending will kill hypocrisy. Because when you spend, you are building your assets in the next life. And when you're hoarding in this world, you're thinking somehow this is making you something more than what you are. And that's actually the essence of hypocrisy. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us charitable people, and those that are able to spend when the time is to spend. And spending isn't just about money. Spending for you young people is their energy. For talented people, it's their talent. You know, for smart people, it's the best of their minds. How are we going to spend these things to make Allah happy? The things that Allah has given us, that's what He says so beautifully in Surah Al-Hadid, وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا جَعَلَكُمْ مُسْتَخْلَفِينَ فِيهِ. Spend out of what He made you capable over, what He left in your hands. He left some things with you, He endowed you with certain capabilities, He wants you to see those being spent for Him. SubhanAllah. May Allah make us of those, and may Allah protect us all from hypocrisy. BarakAllahu li wa lakum, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.